Welcome back to Mountain Money. Joining us in studio this morning, Carrie Main, Chief Economist and Director of Workforce Research and Analysis at the Department of Workforce Services. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming up here. I've always talked to you on the phone, so it's really nice to see you here in person.
I love being up here out of the inversion. It's a relief.
Well, tell us about our unemployment numbers. Utah, as usual, is doing pretty well.
Yes. So our November number came in at 3.2%. We've really just sort of bounced between 3.1 and 3.2 throughout the year. So the average for 2018 will come out likely right around 3.1%. What that equates to in terms of bodies of people looking for work, it was roughly 50,000 each month. Some people misinterpret that and think it's the same 50,000 people not finding work, but there's actually a lot of in and out flow with that. You've got people coming in from having a job to not having a job. You also have people that were never looking for work, a college graduate, a stay-at-home parent who sees the healthy economy, and they come in. They become a job seeker, and they become part of this 50,000 count. But last month's 50,000, many of them found jobs and moved on. So there's a lot of churn. We just happen to settle right around 50,000 every month for the state.
As an economist, would we think that an unemployment rate of the low threes, is that full employment for Utah? I mean, can we do much better than that?
Yeah, it'd be hard to imagine us doing much better than that. Pre-Great Recession, we hit a low of 2.8%. I think structurally our economy has changed a little bit, and I just don't think we'd probably get down below three ever again, at least not in the near term. I think our definition of full employment has adjusted a little bit, and definitely anything below 4% for the state of Utah's full employment. So we're actually pushing well past it. And those employers are just adding jobs consistently month after month. So those opportunities are coming for those job seekers, and they find that work.
So one of the things you always hear about unemployment numbers, and sometimes critics say you're not getting the full number because that 50,000 doesn't include the number of people who just gave up on searching for a job. Any idea what that number might be?
Yeah. So the survey that collects the unemployment number also asks other questions having to do with the job search. So to be unemployed, you have to have looked for a job in the last 4 weeks. But if you haven't, and you don't have a job, there will be more questions asked of you. Why aren't you looking? And, you know, are you available for work? Would you take a job if it landed in your lap? Another key component of that survey is asking people, are you part and or full time? If you're part time, do you want to be full time? That's another component of this big thing that we call, and I think you're getting at this, underemployed. We've been looking at those underemployment numbers, and Utah's underemployment rate is right around 6%. So that's unemployed plus those people that we're talking about. So it's the 3.1% plus an additional 3.1 to get to about that 6.2. Those are people that aren't actively looking for work, but if a job landed in their lap, they take it, or people who are part-time would prefer full-time.
And how does that compare to national numbers on the underemployment rate?
We're still well below. National is right around 8%. Okay. So we're below the national, and our spread is better. It got very high during the Great Recession, as you can imagine, and a large component of that was individuals who were working part-time and wanted full-time. And that component has dropped precipitously for the state of Utah. We do have a lot of part-time workers, but very often they want that part-time. So our portion of workers who are stuck in part-time is small. And you know that that makes sense because we see employers needing workers. Mm-hmm. So they're likely not going to keep someone in part-time if that person's willing to go full-time. They need them for that full-time work.
So two dynamics I think some of our listeners will want to know. One, everyone up here, it seems like there's a help wanted sign almost everywhere you look. And it looks like you brought some breakdown of some numbers. Do you have a breakdown for Summit and Wasatch counties?
So Summit and Wasatch counties have some of the highest numbers of job vacancies that we have seen in the last 5 years.
Oh, wow.
So we see that rate of job vacancy here in Summit and Wasatch is just, wow, the acceleration in Wasatch County. You can tell it's that shoulder effect. Those rates are increasing, lots of openings. And what ends up happening in the numbers is you'll start to see job growth slow. Employers just we weren't able to hire those 10 people we wanted to hire. So instead of job growth being right at our average of 3.1%, we might see that start to tick down. And that is a labor shortage. So that healthy economy can almost get slightly overheated and turn around on itself.
And does that lead to any kind of wage growth?
Absolutely. So the basics of market dynamics tell us that if the demand for a good or service increases, the price increases. And that in, labor is a service in effect. And so wages tend to increase. It's been an interesting story, as I think you probably know. Through the recovery from the Great Recession, wages lagged. We saw job growth at excellent rates. We saw unemployment dropping, but wages were just lethargic. And it was very confusing to us economists. But what we understood was that there was more supply than what we were really seeing in the numbers.
And that was your underemployed kind of a number.
Right, right. But a lot of that has even been exhausted. And so now we have seen very consistent, strong wage growth. And that's good for the economy. You put dollars in consumers' pockets. In workers' pockets, you've put dollars in consumers' pockets. And so that just keeps the economic engine fueled. So it's a good thing.
And you make that wage high enough to maybe lure in that person who was kind of sitting back thinking, is it worth it for me to go back to work?
Exactly. So maybe you're not filling your jobs with the current workforce. You need to entice those who weren't in the workforce on the sidelines into the workforce and grow your labor force that way, or you pull people in from other states. That's another way. So you want new entrants into the economy to keep that job growth going.
I'm real curious what you said about Wasatch County, because often we hear Wasatch County is worried about becoming the bedroom community for Wasatch Front, Provo area, or the Park City area. But it sounds like you're saying Wasatch County has plenty of jobs all on its own.
It is growing in jobs, and it's also growing in employment. So it is true. It is true that many of those who live in Wasatch County are getting employed outside of Wasatch County. But when they get employed, they get money in their pockets, mm-hmm. and they go shop at the local store. They go to a movie in the local theater.
Fill up their car at the local gas station.
Right, and that creates local jobs. Mm. So it can have a great multiplier effect.
So looking forward to 2019, this year, what kind of trends are we going to see, do you think?
Well, you know, there's a lot that tells us that the Utah economy and the national economy are on solid footing. We've got a great foundation. Consumer confidence is very strong. Business outlook is very strong. We have low unemployment that all signs point to it continuing. Job growth is at a great, healthy rate. But people are starting to wonder if it's about time that our economy slows down. And there are some points of concern in terms of the national picture that a lot of economists are looking at and are now dropping that infamous R word into our forecasts.
So we have an old bull. What are you thinking would be the kinds of events that could trigger sort of something of a downturn? And one of the ones I certainly want to ask you about is the trade and China issue.
Right. So a trade war will have a negative impact on the national economy. And Utah has some pockets of its economy that are highly tied to exports. So we could also feel that pinch. The one good thing about the forecasts that predict recession is that no one is saying there is a exogenous shock factor that would put us in something like the Great Recession. It could just be some softening across the board. If there's softening across the board, you recover very quickly. So that's the good thing. But there are other signs too. Economists track the yield curve, which essentially is a summary of how people feel about the long term versus the short term. And if you trend that yield curve out, what you typically see is when the yield curve inverts. In other words, the short term looks better than the long term, then in about 1 year from when that inversion happens, a recession happens. If you trend out the current yield curve rates, the invert point will happen sometime in the summer.
We had the head of the Park City Board of Realtors come in and talk to our Rotary group last week, and she quoted a national realtor analyst who said the next 3 years he predicted were going to be pretty boring for real estate. He said, you know, we're just going to see a slowdown of the increase in real estate prices. Not that prices will drop, just that the increase will slow down. And Carrie, I wondered about Utah because we have a housing shortage here, mm-hmm. don't we?
Yes.
So that to me says that our real estate prices, as long as there's a scarcity in the market, mm-hmm. that real estate prices mm-hmm. will continue to go up?
I believe that there's upward pressure on real estate. There's a high demand, but that demand is not being met. There is an inability to afford those houses, and that's becoming a stronger and stronger component of the housing market. And then what will happen is the houses stop selling and the price levels off. So I would agree with that. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that lack of affordability is going to slow demand down. I think people are going to put off buying that house. Their wages are increasing, so they're thinking, we'll wait another year, see if prices cool off, save some more money for our down payment, and that is the effect that would cause the flattening of the prices.
But and isn't the gradually increasing interest rates going to have a dramatic effect on affordability?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's no at this time. There's no incentive in terms of declining interest rates, and there's no messages out there that say that they're going to flatten out. They're going to continue to increase. That also kills any markets having to do with like refinancing your home or getting a home loan for improvements. So a lot of that stuff is going to flatten out. A lot of that activity will slow down.
And I talked to a couple at the Newcomers Club last week, and they told me that they're holding off on building their home in Park City. They have the land. They're ready to go. But they said the cost to build it is too high. They would not be able to turn around and sell it for what it cost them to build it, so they're holding off.
I blame the airport.
Oh, yeah, because all the construction workers are at the airport, aren't they?
And that's a serious comment. I mean, I think that the ability to get subs, you know, craftsmen, is really constrained by the incredible demand that the airport project is putting on local construction resources.
Demand for construction workers is through the roof.
Yes,
pun intended. The Association of General Contractors talks to us a lot about the job openings that we see, the job growth that we see. It is very strong. Winter continues to create hiring in construction. That's definitely going to be a challenge. And then we can go and circle back to the trade issues. If there are tariffs on those resources mm-hmm. to build homes and build buildings, yes, it becomes more costly to do so, and people are going to put it off.
Well, let's talk about what other trends you're seeing in terms of what jobs are available excuse me, for people. So we know that Utah needs construction workers. What other areas of employment are you seeing growth?
It's across the board. It really, truly is. And I think that's why Utah just generally has such a healthy economy is that we're so diverse. There's obviously a lot of demand for tech workers. And there's a lot of energy being put on the government side to support whatever way possible, the influx of well-qualified coding workers, computer systems analysts, anything of that nature. There's a lot of support, a lot of energy being put around that because a lot of our leadership feels that that is the way to build a healthy economy for long-term growth for our state.
If you were to advise a young person who's going into college and what should they study so that in 4 years when they get out with their bachelor's degree, they're going to have a great selection of jobs available to them at a very nice salary, what would you tell them to get into?
There's a lot of places where you can get a good salary. And so you want to match your own skills and talents, but research it. That to me is really the key. There are some confusing messages out there if you just watch daytime TV about what your earning potential is, how much it's going to cost you to go to school. So you really need to, I would tell everyone to think like an economist, do a cost-benefit analysis, understand how much the degree will cost you and what you will get in return. Get real information about the growth of that occupation. Make sure your data comes from a neutral source. The Department of Workforce Services is a great source for that data. We have no bias. We're not trying to push you into one occupation or the other occupation. We're going to tell it like it is. There's some confusing information out there, and you can be misled by people who want you to get in a particular career because they're going to benefit from it. But in the end, you're not going to be able to pay your school bills when you get that job.
You mentioned a minute ago that there were senior interest in facilitating tech. Are we still seeing a healthy growth in the high-tech industry here in Utah? I know I've heard talk of the Silicon Slopes and how that's a long-term project. Are we seeing actual development in that area?
Yes. There's a lot of key partnerships happening between education and industry that are facilitated by agencies like Workforce Services and Governor's Office of Economic Development, where we're trying to ensure that the colleges, the training programs are aligned with what tech needs, because what tech needs changes so often, so frequently. We did a really in-depth study in my office. I don't want to get into the details too much, but one of the very interesting things that we found about tech in the state of Utah is it tends to be we employ workers that do a little bit more of the mid-skill type work. We don't have the presence of cutting-edge innovators. We're not hiring a whole lot of PhDs in computer science, but those with associate's degrees or some sort of coding program degree or certification are making very good money in the state of Utah. I'm talking averaging $85,000 a year. It is very difficult to find an occupation where you've only gone to school for a year and a half, 2 years, and you're averaging $85,000 a year. Now, this is average over people that have 20 years of experience and a year of experience. So with a year of experience, you probably won't go in $85,000. But if you want to commit to that occupation and only want 2 years or less of education, you're going to get to $85,000. And we can't say that about a lot of occupations nowadays. The career landscape has changed from when our parents were in it. And you could even skip college and get something that you would make over your lifetime, $85,000 a year.
What about healthcare industry? Are we seeing a lot of job growth there?
Yes. Healthcare is primarily driven by population growth. So even in recessions, you see the demand for healthcare workers increase. So going back to that college or high school individual who's doing that career search and career exploration, if you're someone who's a little bit risk averse, you're scared of the idea of becoming unemployed, healthcare is a great place to be because it continues to grow.
Because people will always get sick.
Absolutely. Especially with this inversion.
And if we can dial it down again to Summit and Wasatch County, what kind of wages are you seeing in the Wasatch Back compared to other counties in Utah?
No, we're seeing stronger growth in these counties. It's stronger growth catching up to a lot of counties, and you're getting more diversification in the two counties, which always gives a lot of upward pressure on wages, because you're when you have a diversified economy, you are amplifying the ability for that multiplier effect to happen. So that person, we talked about that individual who has a job, lives in Wasatch County, goes and buys movie tickets, goes to the doctor, takes their kids to violin lessons. When you have violin lessons and movie theaters and restaurants, when you've diversified your economy, there's more opportunity for that consumer to spend in that area and for the net economy of that county to benefit even more.
So if you were to say something to the leaders of Summit in Wasatch County and give them some advice on how to continue diversifying or how to lure more employees or keep their economy vibrant, what would you tell them?
It's just to focus on those accolades, show where the success is happening and how that translates into better wages, people happier about living in their county, more opportunities for them living in their county. Emphasize those benefits so that people understand that it seems a little obvious and it's easy to understand, but not everybody stops and thinks about the multiplier effect in their county. So just have people thinking about that.
And then as long as we're talking about political leaders, what about our state legislature about to kick into gear in about a week or so? What are you watching in the legislature this year?
Every year there's a lot, there will be policy. Last year there was policies having to do with benefiting occupations that are in demand for the economy. So there was recently talk of Senate Bill 104, which is an education credit, tuition credit for students who go into a degree that's going to lead to one of our highest demand occupations. So those high demand occupations were identified, and any student who has a year under their belt in a degree program that would lead to that occupation qualifies for tuition assistance. So a lot of those programs are very interesting for me to watch. Usually my vantage point is more of like, how can I support with data and analysis? Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm watching out for.
And then finally, let's just talk about hourly wage. What are you seeing in Summit and Wasatch County as far as, you know, if someone, Jimmy John's, has an opening? We're seeing $14 an hour. I don't think you're getting that in Salt Lake Valley, are you?
Oh, no, no. You do see upward pressure on those low-skill occupations. We won't compare. We absolutely won't compare because I say we because I live in Salt Lake County. The workforce in Salt Lake County, there are more individuals available for mm-hmm. that type of work. But that is the area, that's where you signal that you know you have an economy that's doing very well when you can't fill those low skill jobs, because the typical worker that filled those low skill jobs is getting the next job up. They're getting the management position, or they got considered for some sort of entry level professional position that they wouldn't otherwise be considered. But the employer is struggling to find people. So everything sort of moves up that career ladder. And unfortunately, those employers that hire those entry-level, low-skill occupations are the ones that struggle most and end up turning around and offering things like $14 an hour for making sandwiches.
Man, Roger, if I were a kid in high school and I could get a $14 an hour job, sky's the limit.
It's a lot more than the buck and a quarter I got in high school.
Carrie, anything else you think our listeners need to know?
Just that Utah's economy is doing very well, and we are on solid footing. And despite the talk about recessions, Utah's going to do well.